Amen. We talk to you this morning from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 26. And we're going to talk to you from a kindred passage in our study this evening as we continue and conclude the lesson that we began on this morning. I wanted to have this passage in the book of Luke read this evening because I wanted to substantiate something that I had said this morning. We talked to you about an election where Jesus lost, where Jesus was defeated at the polls. The crowd, the multitude, cast their vote in favor of Barabbas, and they cast their votes against Jesus. We talked to you about the custom. It was a custom that at this time of year during the feast that a prisoner be released, be granted his freedom, be given emancipation. The two candidates under consideration in this unusual election were Barabbas and Jesus. Barabbas was one who was guilty of sedition, one who was described as a robber, and also he was described as a murderer. These were the two candidates up for election. Jesus was rejected. Barabbas was selected to go free. We also spoke about the companion, that is, the companion of Pilate. Mrs. Pilate, Pilate's wife, sent a message to Pilate saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, because I have suffered many things in a dream because of him this day." Then we talked about the campaigning that went on. The chief priests and elders campaigned on behalf of Barabbas, because the Bible says in Matthew 27 and verse 20, they persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. When they said, "Release Barabbas, we are casting our vote for him," Pilate asked, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they said, "Let him be crucified." The whole crowd, that whole vast multitude, voted for Barabbas and voted against Jesus. So Jesus suffered a decided defeat at the polls on that day. We've indicated that a number of persons, even outside that immediate setting, cast their votes against Jesus. We also mentioned that when it comes to our own spiritual health and vitality, when it comes to our own salvation, that God has voted for us, the devil has voted against us, and it is left up to us to cast the deciding vote. Once we cast our initial vote in the interest of our salvation by submitting to the divine requirements involved in obeying the gospel of Christ, we become Christians. But in a very real sense, we continue voting each and every day of our lives by our choices and by our conduct. This voting is done in a multitude of ways, only a few of which we will discuss in this lesson tonight. We keep on voting after we become Christians because we continue to choose to live in a manner that is consistent with and according to God's will. Every day we have choices to make. Every day we have decisions to make, either for good or ill. And in that sense, we are constantly, daily, casting our votes in our best interest or to our detriment. We vote all of the time. And I want to share a few ways in which we continue to cast our votes either in our favor or to our detriment. First of all, when we diligently and conscientiously study the Word of God, we are casting votes for continued spiritual growth and development. In John 5:39, Jesus himself says to his detractors, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We need to have the attitude and the spirit that characterized those noble Bereans of old. Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." 2 Timothy 2:15 reminds us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And speaking of appropriate, balanced spiritual growth and development, Hebrews 5:12 through 14 indicts those to whom Paul wrote. He says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So whenever you diligently and conscientiously study the Word of God, you are casting your votes for continued spiritual growth and development. Additionally, whenever we neglectfully absent ourselves from the assemblies of the saints, we cast a vote against our own spiritual health and strength, as well as the spiritual health and strength of the church. Paul, Hebrews 10:25, reminds us what behavior should not characterize those who are God's children, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When we live in such a way as to let our lights so shine before men that they might see our good works, we cast a vote for men to see our good works and to glorify our Father who is in heaven. Remember, Jesus said, let your lights so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We cast our votes in the interest of that happening when we allow or let our lights shine before men. Not only that, but husbands, when we love our wives as we love ourselves and as Christ loves the church, we are casting votes to ensure a stable and enduring marriage. Ephesians 5, 25 and 28. When we live exemplary lives in bringing up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, we are casting votes in the interest of them growing up to be faithful and loyal members of the church of the Lord. Paul said, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not only is that the case, but additionally, as it applies to children, when children obey and honor their parents, they are casting votes to possibly avoid numerous problems and hardships in life and to ensure enjoying a longer life on the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Isn't it wonderful that we can vote in our favor by the choices, by the decisions that we make to live in keeping with the laws and principles of God? You know, there are a lot of folks who are still around here because they obeyed their parents. There are a lot of folks who are still around here because they honored their fathers and their mothers. And there are some other folks who are sleeping beneath the sod because they dishonored their parents, because they were disobedient to their parents and engaged in behavior and activities that led ultimately to their premature deaths. One of the preachers we had do a meeting for us some years ago had a son, young man. While they tried their best to restrain him, they tried to warn him, they asked him to amend his ways, he drove fast and furiously like Jehu of old. He drove just real fast all of the time. And his mom and dad used to tell him, "Say, son, don't do that. You know, slow down. Drive like you have some sense." They admonished him. They warned him time after time. But he rejected those admonitions. He rejected those warnings. And one day when he was out driving furiously, he was in an accident. a fatal accident and lost his life. If he had obeyed his parents, if he had honored his father and his mother, he might be still living today, but he died prematurely. We can cast votes in our own best interests by choosing, by registering our choices to do the right thing and to be obedient to God. Amen. When parents utilize appropriate corporeal punishment in disciplining their children, they are very likely casting votes in the interest of their physical, mental, and spiritual health, and very likely also their eternal destinies. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the rod and about physical punishment. I know that's out of vogue in many places today and in the eyes and minds of many. Some consider it to be old-fashioned, archaic. Some consider it to even be psychologically unhealthy. Some even go so far as to characterize the usage of corporal punishment as being savage and barbaric. But I think it expresses, when done appropriately, the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God. Parents who use it as God designed it to be used, as an expression of parental love and care, they are casting their votes for a bright and better future for their children. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness, and my mama used to quote this all the time, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He might holler like it's killing him, but he won't die. No, he won't die. They say small boys and canoes are a lot alike in that they both behave better when paddled from the rear. I know that's true from experience. Those whippings which I've received at the hands of my mama and papa, and those whippings which I have been privileged to deliver myself. Also, it is stated that children can be straightened out by being bent over. And I think you get my drift. You know, you don't have to abuse a child in order to beat a child or in order to spank a child. And I think I'm better off having received the discipline, the whippings that I received as a child. I think some of you are better off too. You know, no telling where some of us would be if it were not for strict parents who did not neglect punishing us with the switch and with the belt, and some of y'all with an ironing cord. But we are casting votes every day. When you forgive those who sin against you, as enjoined in sacred scripture, Matthew 6:14-15, Matthew 18:21-35, Luke 17:3-5, and Ephesians 4:32, when you forgive those who sin against you, you cast a vote that ensures that God will continue to forgive you when you sin against him. When you continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as is indicated in Matthew 6:33, you cast votes to ensure that God will continue to provide you with everything you need. So you're casting a powerful vote when you give God first place, when you give him precedence and priority and preeminence in your life. You are guaranteed that the Lord will take care of all of your needs. I know people who are running for various offices, they make a whole bunch of promises. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. And a lot of those promises are hollow. A lot of those promises are worthless. A lot of those promises will never be fulfilled. But you can be assured of this one thing, that if God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Furthermore, when we sow bountifully and cheerfully in giving of our financial means to support the work of the Lord, we are casting our vote to likewise reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8, Malachi 3:10. And then finally, when we as persons called according to God's purpose, Romans 8:28, continue to demonstrate our love for him, we cast our votes in the interest of God working out all things for our good. My advice to you is, my admonition to you is, my exhortation to you is to continue to vote in your best interest. Continue to vote for good and against evil. Continue to vote for heaven and against hell. Continue to vote for light and against darkness. Continue to vote for righteousness and against evil and sinfulness. Continue to vote for the Lord and against Satan, because the votes you cast from day to day will eventually and inevitably determine your final destiny. We cast votes in so many different ways in our lives. When you go to McDonald's and pick out something to eat, you're casting a vote either in the interest of good health or in the interest of deteriorating health. When the doctor tells you to leave alone pork chops and ribs and bacon, and every time you go to Famous Dave's or was that Nick's Barbecue? Every time you go to Shoney's and eat a bunch of bacon and a bunch of hog sausage, Clifford, rather than turkey sausage, you're casting a vote against your better health. Every time you feast on chocolate cakes and on cupcakes of various flavors loaded with sugar and loaded with fat, you are voting against your better health. Every time you put off and neglect going to the doctor for your physical, going to the doctor when problems occur, you are casting a vote against continued good health and in favor of deteriorating health and possibly in favor of being placed in an early grave. Every day we are making choices, we are making decisions. And as we make choices, as we make decisions, as we register them in our actions, in our deeds, in our words, in our thoughts, in our conduct, we are casting our votes. You have the opportunity to cast your vote this evening. If you are here and you're not a Christian, you have the opportunity to cast a vote by obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian. Believing that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, that he was resurrected from the grave the third day. Believing that good news of the gospel with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You're casting a vote in the interest of your salvation. You're casting a vote in the interest of eternal life. You're casting a vote in the interest of, on this earth, living the very best possible life that there is. If you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've fallen by the wayside, you can also vote in your best spiritual interest through repentance, confession, and prayer. Remember, we mentioned this morning that God has already voted for you. The devil has voted against you. It's tied up. You're the one who have to break the tie. Like in the Senate, you have 100 individuals in the Senate. The vice president, if they have a tie, 50-50, he is the one who casts the deciding vote. He breaks the tie. Inasmuch as God has voted for you and Jesus, and the devil, rather, has voted against you, you have to cast the deciding vote. You know, it's tied. You have to break the tie, and you can break that tie this evening through your obedience to the Lord as we together stand and as we sing.
Come to Jesus, he will save you. Though your sin has
crimson flow, if you give your heart to Jesus, he will make it white as snow. Come today, come today, come to Jesus, come today.